नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सत्वं नो दर्शयात्मानम् अस्मत्करणगोचरम् प्रपन्नानं दिदिक्षूनाम् सस्मितं ते मुखाम्भुजम्।
O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses. Purport. The devotees are always eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form with his smiling lotus-like face. They are not interested in experiencing the impersonal form. The Lord has both impersonal and personal features. The impersonalists have no idea of the personal feature of the Lord, but Lord Brahma and the members of his disciplic succession want to see the Lord in his personal form. Without a personal form, there can be no question of a smiling face, which is clearly indicated here by the word sasmitam te mukham bhujam. Those who are in the Vaishnava Sampradaya of Brahma always want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are eager to realize the Lord's personal feature, not the impersonal feature. As clearly stated here, asmat karana gocharam, the personal feature of the Lord can be directly perceived by our senses. Up to this point, Lord Brahma has been offering quite formal prayers, all the describing the magnificence, the splendor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, describing him in a manner to distinguish him from any material features, just like in the previous verse we see it is mentioned the Supreme Personality. Lord Brahma is praying, "You are completely silent, free from endeavor, completely satisfied by your own achievements." But in this verse, there's a change in his mood. He's offering all these formal prayers. Now he's saying, "Actually, we'd very much like to see you." He's formally offering prayers, but then his original feelings for Krishna, "We are all surrendered to you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses." "We are surrendered to you" means the devotee doesn't demand that Krishna show himself. Surrendered devotee doesn't say, "I want to see, show me God, come here." Now some kind of, supposed to be Vaishnavas, they make some prayer, "Come here, Krishna, let me see you." But a devotee doesn't demand like that. He simply serves Krishna and Ashlishava Padaratam Panashtumam Adarshanam Mamhatam Kuranti. Even if Krishna doesn't show himself, the devotee remains always fixed in his position of service to Krishna. Nevertheless, he does wish to see Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Don't try to see Krishna, just try to act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased to see you." That doesn't mean the devotee doesn't want to see Krishna. He very much wants to see Krishna, but he doesn't demand anything of Krishna, even to the point that all his devotional service that he's performing, he simply is desiring that, "When will I get the chance to again be reinstated in my constitutional position and be with Krishna, see Krishna?" But even that he doesn't demand. Nothing, no demands. Diyamanam nagrihananti vinamat sevanam jana. This Kapila Dev says that, Sarshti samipya sarupya kaivalakvam shabaktanam. He says that all the different kinds of liberation, such as having the same form as me, living on the same planet as me, having my association, having the same opulence as me, and definitely merging into the impersonal existence. Devotees, they don't ask for that. They don't demand that. They're like, "Diyamanam nagrihananti." Even if I give it to them, they won't accept it unless there's an opportunity to serve me. That is the interest of the devotees. So they're serving Krishna, but at the same time, they're also very anxious to to see Krishna, but they don't demand that of Krishna. Now, Brahma is asking, please make your form appreciable to our senses. So it is the most natural thing in the purified state that a living being, jiva, is attracted to Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. So it is natural to be attracted to Krishna. Everything about Krishna is attractive. His face, his form, his words that he speaks in Bhagavad Gita, smell of his body, all of the senses that we have. In the present time, our senses are covered by material energy. So all our senses, their original source of satisfaction is Krishna. Here in this material world, our senses interact with the sense objects, but in a different way, with a different motive. Just like a young boy is attracted to a young girl and likes to look and see. Practically, he can't keep his eyes off. They have to be brahmacharis, they have to train themselves. Don't look, don't look. But that attraction is the perverted attraction to see the beautiful form of Krishna. That is the proper object for the gratification of the senses, to see the form of Krishna. To see the form of Krishna, to hear words that Krishna speaks, to smell the aroma that emanates from Krishna's body, to taste prasad offered to Krishna. Prabhupada writes that the perfection of the sense of taste is to enjoy taking Krishna prasad. So all the senses, the original attraction is towards Krishna. Especially here is stressed the original form of Krishna, Shamasundar. It's blackish, but at the same time very beautiful. Generally we think black is not very nice. If we say black, we think that's something unusual, something bad. Just as example, one time I was seeing in the Bengali newspaper, it was in Bangladesh, which is a Muslim country, Krishna Divas. So I was thinking, oh, in the headline in the newspaper in the Muslim country, they put the word Krishna. But it was Krishna Divas, means black day. It's something bad. So black means, generally we think, black means not very attractive. Here in India, you'll see in the newspaper, they put an advertisement for brides wanted, or brides on offer. Indian Express, Swayamvarsan, brides on offer. Fair complexion, or not very, not too dark, means probably black as coal. They don't want to say that. No, black is not considered very nice, but Krishna, his blackness, that's Shamasundar, Yang Shamasundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam. His form is blackish, beautiful, and composed of inconceivable, wonderful qualities. That is the composition of Krishna's form, Satyat Ananda Vigraha. Krishna's form is all beautiful. Therefore, it is compared to the lotus. Here we see here, Mukhambujam. His face is just like the lotus. And other parts of his body are also compared to the lotus. Nama Pankajana Abhaya, Nama Pankajamalini, Nama Pankajanitraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. Queen Kunti is praying. This prayer is also a prayer. Later we'll find in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Bhumi Devi is praying to Krishna, same prayer. That you are Nama Pankajanabhaya, a very well known name of Krishna. Padmanabha, Pankaja Nabha. Navel just like a lotus, means beautiful as a lotus. And also Padmanabha, because the lotus comes from his navel. And he wears a garland of lotus flowers. His eyes are just like lotuses, and his feet are also like lotuses. So different parts of the body are compared to lotuses, and this is lotus hands. lotus face, lotus eyes. And there's so many different words for lotus, so you have so many different words. Here we have Mukhambhujam. Ambuja means that which is born in the water. It's a name for lotus. So we have Ambujaksha. So many for eye, there's also so many words. What words do we have for lotus? Let's see. We have Ambuja, Kamala, Aravinda, Pankaja, Padma. What other words? There are many more words. And for eyes, we also have words like here, Mukha, so that's face, and Netra, Nayan, Aksha, and different words for eyes. So these words all combine. Excuse me. There's some bug here. Hare Krishna. These words all combine. So there are so many different names for Krishna. Aravindaksha. Ye vinye ravindaksha. Aravindaksha. Pankaja netra. Different names for Krishna, comparing him to a lotus. Why are Krishna's features compared to a lotus? Because the lotus is the most beautiful thing in the material world. It's considered the most beautiful. So Krishna's face that is compared to the lotus. Actually, the lotus, it's only a comparison. Krishna is only comparable with himself. There's no actual comparison. But to give some idea that Krishna, he has a face, but it's not like some face of some nasty, ugly, wrinkled up face. But Krishna's face is very beautiful and very attractive. That attraction is not like the attraction of this material world. Natural attraction. So Krishna is compared to the lotus because the lotus is the most beautiful thing in the material world. Also, lotus feet. Krishna is called, he says, lotus feet. Another reason why he's called lotus feet is because his feet are always resting on the Golok Vrindavan planet, which is shaped like a lotus. So for that reason also, Krishna is said to have lotus feet. Krishna puts his, when he comes to this earth, he puts his feet on the earth also. The demigods, or when Lord Vishnu comes just for a brief visit, like we see when he came to visit Prithu Maharaj's sacrificial arena, they don't put their feet on the ground. Even if they come here, they don't. They just remain a little bit up, just to show we're demigods. But Krishna is more kind. He puts his feet on the earth. Tvat padai rankita bhati vilakshana vilakshitai. Kunti is saying how the earth planet has become glorified because Krishna has put the impression of his lotus feet on the earth. And the earth planet herself was saying that when Krishna, I was so much happy, Krishna was coming and walking everywhere, putting his feet. So the grass, was it the earth planet? I think it was the bull, Dharma, was saying to her that the grass is just like the hairs of the earth's body is standing on him in ecstasy at the touch of the Lord's lotus feet. And Prabhupada comments that in the purport that Krishna was sometimes in Dwaraka, sometimes in Mathura, sometimes in Vrindavan, sometimes in Hastinapur, sometimes he went to different places. He was on the plea of different leelas, he went to different places. He went to, that's now in Maharashtra, what's that, in Vidarbha, what's the name of that village, where Rukmini, Bhishmaka was the king there. So he went there. Then he went to Varanasi. He went to the Mahavishnus where he's staying. He went to so many different places just to benedict the places, and the people on the way, they would see him also. By seeing him, just like Kunti Devi says, by seeing you, you'll no longer see birth and death. So Krishna very mercifully was going from place to place, but when he was in Dwaraka, he wasn't in Mathura. When he was in Mathura, he wasn't in Kashi. So like this, only for a short time, people in different places would see him. But as far as the earth planet was concerned, Krishna was always not separated from the earth planet. The residents of Dwaraka, they would sometimes be separated from him. And then sometimes the residents of Hastinapur, they would be separated. But the earth planet was never separated because Krishna was on the earth, touching the earth with his lotus feet, leaving the impression of his lotus feet. So the earth was feeling great separation. Krishna left, and the very moment that Krishna left, Kali entered. What a shock. The earth planet was feeling so much happy that Krishna, for 125 years, Krishna was continuously placing his lotus feet upon me. And all of a sudden he was gone and this Kali is here. So that was a great shock. But Krishna, he left, he didn't leave also. Just like he left Vrindavan, he didn't leave either. Because he remained always in the remembrance of the devotees. So similarly, Krishna is remaining in this world. Particularly, how has Krishna remained? He's remained on this in this world in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages asked, at Naimisharanya, they asked, that now Krishna has gone. Krishna svadhamo pagate dharma jnana dipi saha. Krishna has gone to his own abode. And religion, knowledge, naturally they are his companions. Religion means Vasudeva Paro Dharma. Religion means to serve Krishna. Knowledge means to know Krishna. So Krishna is gone. So what to do? But Krishna is gone, but he's also remained. Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Purana Kadanodita. Krishna has remained in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we can get these descriptions of Krishna, which are not different from Krishna. These descriptions of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam are directly Krishna. Same. For those who can realize, Krishna is present in the very pages of the Bhagavatam. Not different. And Krishna has also come again in his personal form for everyone to see, within living memory of everyone, as Prabhupada writes, in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Rajendra Nandan Jay Shachi Shuta Hoilo She Balarama Hoilo Nita. Who was Krishna? He has again come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Shamasunda, same Shamasunda, has now come as Gaurasunda, who was blackish and very beautiful. He is now in golden form and very beautiful. That at the time of his birth, at the time of his appearance in this world, Sita Thakurani, wife of Advaita Acharya, she came to see the new son of her friend, Shachi Mata. She was astonished to see. She could immediately recognize that this child has got exactly the same features as Krishna, only he's golden, not black. She could immediately understand. So that same Shamasunda again came as Gaurasunda. In the same beautiful features that attracted everybody. Bahu Koti Chandra Din Vadana Ujval. The luster of Lord Chaitanya's face that defeats the beauty of millions of moons. Generally, you'll find the poets, they praise the moon. How beautiful is the moon? But simply the luster of Lord Chaitanya's face makes the beauty of the moon completely insignificant. Not even one moon, but even the beauty of millions of moons combined are defeated by the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's features. Even Lord Chaitanya, same features as Krishna, but if anything, even more beautiful. Because Radha Bhava Dhyotisva Idam Nama Krishna Swarupa. He is taking the beauty of Srimati Radharani. Krishna has taken the feelings of Srimati Radharani and then taking the mood when Krishna and Radha combine, then it must be golden, not black, because Radharani is more powerful than Krishna. Krishna is the supreme all-powerful, but Radharani is more powerful because her love for Krishna is more than Krishna can even imagine. Therefore he takes the form of Gaurasundar to appreciate his own beauty and to spread the appreciation of that beauty. That Srimati Radharani, as the topmost devotee of Krishna, she is always thinking not simply how I will see Krishna, that she also is thinking all the time, but she's also thinking how to bring others to Krishna. And this mood becomes very prominent when Krishna and Radha combine in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply thinking how to bring others to Krishna. That why should I only see Krishna? But let everybody see Krishna. Let everybody be happy by seeing Krishna. Let everybody be blessed by seeing Krishna. There's such ecstasy in understanding Krishna. Why should everybody not take this nectar? So this also, Krishna says in Gita, Nachatasman manusheshu kaschid me priyakrittamaha. No one is more dear to me than someone who spreads this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, who tries to bring others to me. The demigods, they're anxious to see Krishna. They want to see him. And the devotees of Krishna, they're also anxious to bring others. Please come and see Krishna. Take this book. In this book, you will see Krishna. Actually, you have to see Krishna, not exactly with your eyes, but with your ears. Shute ikshana. In Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, seeing by hearing. By hearing, we can see. Otherwise, if you see without hearing, then you'll see stone without understanding that this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you see the deity, you'll simply see stone. So many people, they see the deity, they just see stone. They don't see Krishna. And this is Krishna. But because they haven't heard from the proper source, or with the proper submissive attitude, then they don't see Krishna. They only see a piece of stone. But those who have heard from the Acharya, they understand, this is Krishna. We have to serve Krishna. This is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One person may see just, it's a nice carving. They may say, nice statue. Or others may not see at all. I had that experience a long time ago, before I came to India. In our temple in London, one man came, some Karmi man came, for doing some repair work or something in the temple. So he looked in the temple. The temple was there, Radha Gokul Ananda. Exquisitely, beautifully, effulgent. So he was looking and saying, oh, beautiful, beautiful room. See the decorations on the wall, and the chandeliers, and even the floor is very nice. So he's praising everything, but he didn't see the deities. He didn't even see the deities. He has an attraction, he's not awakened to see the whole point is Krishna. He didn't understand. So by hearing, we can understand who is Krishna, and then appreciation will come. That natural appreciation, which is the most natural thing in the world, that we should be attracted to Krishna. But that won't come about unless we hear, first of all, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Kariyadai. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Kariyayodhana. Love for Krishna is natural in every person, but that doesn't awaken unless we hear and chant about Krishna in the proper way. In the proper way, there are two conditions. Simply how to hear properly about Krishna. Two conditions. Simply the speaker should be a bona fide devotee, not concocting some philosophy and or not speaking just to attract others for his own aggrandizement. His behavior should be proper in devotional service. Speaker should be bona fide. And the hearer should also be bona fide. That means he should be submissive, with a service attitude, wanting to know about Krishna. Then, if the speaker is bona fide and the hearer is bona fide, then it is guaranteed that Krishna consciousness will develop very quickly. Just like husband and wife, if the wife is fertile and the husband is potent, then by their combination, a child must be produced. So in the same way, if the speaker is bona fide and the hearer is also properly sincere, and by hearing about Krishna, our natural attraction will be awakened. It's a very natural thing. The attraction for Krishna will be awakened, just like that. Bilva Mangala Thakur, his strong attraction for Krishna had become changed into strong attraction for a prostitute. Unnatural. But the attraction for the prostitute had taken over. His intelligence even was completely gone. So that for the sake of that, sukham hi tucham, yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham, for the sake of some insignificant sense pleasure, he went through so many troubles and risks and risked his life in several ways just to get to some bag of bones and flesh that he thought was the source of all his happiness. Then that prostitute, Chintamani, said, "Oh, you have so much attraction for me. If you had the same attraction for Krishna, you would be a very great devotee." Then, immediately, he heard the name Krishna. Immediately, because in his previous life, he'd also been an advanced devotee. But some bad desire must have been there. So, Krishna gave him the chance to indulge that a little bit. But then when he heard Krishna, then he immediately thought, "Yes, what am I doing? What about Krishna? I'm wasting my life." So immediately set off. "Let me go to Vrindavan. Let me go." There are so many stories of devotees who, just like madmen, they gave up whatever they had. They left. Narottam Das was just a young boy. And from a nice family, his father was a king. I mean, he's not a big emperor, but he was a big landholder, rich family. Everyone liked him. He wasn't mistreated or anything like that. But he wasn't at all happy at home. He simply wanted to go to Vrindavan. So when he got the chance, he went. He left. And then he just, for 7 days, he didn't know whether it was day or night, he just kept on moving. No eating, no, sometimes in some village someone given a little milk, but just went. Same thing Raghunath Das. When he got the chance to leave home and go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately.